Well, many years ago, Bob Dylan sang these words, "You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord,
but you're going to have to serve somebody."
That's how I say, serve somebody. But I don't know how Bob has been walking with the Lord, or if he's really been serving the Lord as of late. You know, he kind of drifted away if you follow his life a little bit. But there's some truth to that statement that he says, you're going to have to serve somebody. Either it's the Lord or it's the devil. When you think about it, the things that we do in the area of service, when we're served, either we serve with the Lord in mind, or perhaps we may serve with us in mind. And if we're only thinking of ourselves, then we are being what? Selfish. If we're being selfish, then we are being worldly. If we are being worldly, we are being unspiritual. And if we're being unspiritual, as James 3:15 says, we are really of the devil. That's how he describes anything that is not of God there. Well, today, let me ask you, whom are you serving? Whom are you serving? I want you to open your Bibles today to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, we're going to look at a couple verses. Out of that, verses 23 and 24. We're going to continue with our topic of what it means to be kingdom people. And last week, we began to talk about what it meant to be serving in the kingdom. What does that look like? And we mainly talked about the heart, what the heart of the servant is to look like. And we saw that as we serve the Lord, often there are these darn weeds that tend to crop up in our hearts. We seek to do the right thing. We want to serve the Lord, but then out of nowhere, up come these weeds of pride and passing judgment and quarreling, and we need to use the old weed killer and squirt those weeds. Well, hopefully today's passage will help us just to keep the weeds away as we seek to serve the King of Kings in his kingdom. Let's read that. A couple of verses there. Verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Well, in our day, that word, whatever, can sometimes have negative connotations. If you're a parent, perhaps maybe at times your child may have rolled their eyes at you, and maybe you've requested something and they've kind of given you one of these, whatever. You ever got one of those? Whatever. Well, young people, if you haven't done that yet, let me give you some advice. Just don't go there. Don't do it. It's really not a good thing. It's not a way to honor your mom and dad. But let's face it, even as adults, how many of us can have that, quote, whatever attitude, right, with people? We can be there too, not to pick on the young people, because we can do the same thing. Well, here, this word whatever in verse 23 is not a sarcastic word. It's not a word that means I don't care, but it's a word that causes us to carefully examine everything that we do throughout every day of our lives. That's what that word whatever means. It's really a command that says, let everything you do, whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Do it with the Lord in mind. That's what it means. Well, how many of you tend to compartmentalize your lives? And by that I mean we kind of separate time. We may look at our time we spend at work. We may say that's secular time. And then there's sacred time. And then there's maybe me time. You ever do that? I know it's easy to do. We may get up tomorrow morning. If you go to work on Monday morning and you go off and you're kind of in the world and you say, well, that's secular time. And that's maybe 40, 50, 60 hours a week. That's, quote, secular time. And then when I do spiritual stuff, like I read my Bible and pray in the morning, or I come to church on Sunday, or maybe I go to a Christian concert or retreat, well, that's sacred stuff. That's sacred time. And then when I maybe work out in the backyard or just plop down in front of the TV or read the newspaper, that's me time, right? Well, what's wrong with that kind of thinking? We forget that word whatever, right? We forget that even our jobs, even when we go to work each day, even as we're in our home just relaxing, really comes under that umbrella of whatever, whatever we do. And really going to work is kind of the context of this passage here. Jump back to Colossians 3, verse 22, one verse earlier. Paul writes and says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord." The context there really is, though we may not be, quote, slaves or servants, if we've got a boss over us when we are an employee, then really that would apply to us as well. We work as if we're working unto the Lord, not just to please man, but we're there to please the Lord. Well, for those of you who head off to work each day, I know you all may not do that, but for those of you who do and have a boss over you, do you see yourself, even in that environment, as a servant of Christ? In other words, do you see that time as, quote, sacred time as well as spiritual time as well? Because this is really what Paul is teaching in this passage. And you may say, okay, I can buy that. Church time, I see that as sacred. And okay, I go to work, I'll call that sacred time. But what about me time? I mean, does that have to be sacred as well? Well, first off, you'll be hard-pressed to find that phrase, me time, in the Bible. Even when you go back to the Old Testament and you look at the Sabbath day, which was a day to rejuvenate the body, it was a day of rest for the people of Israel. Not only was it that, but it was mainly a day where they would zone in, they would focus on the Lord. It was a day where they would worship God, they would become intimate with the Lord on that, quote, Sabbath day. In our day, we may not celebrate the Sabbath in the same way that the Jewish people did, but we call Sunday what? The Lord's Day. We often call it the Lord's Day. And when you think about our own lives, is it really the Lord's Day? Do we give Him the whole day? Or maybe just a little block of time? I know I'm guilty of becoming more intimate on a Sunday afternoon with places like Daytona and Boston Garden and Fenway Park and Giant Stadium than I am with the Lord, and just zoning in on the Lord for that day and just becoming intimate with Him. So if you're hoping for a loophole, like maybe there's 10 or 15 hours in the week that God says that's just your time, there's really no loopholes. Let's back up even a little bit more to verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 17 says this, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And you may say, well, how in the world can, you know, raking leaves or reading the newspaper be done in the name of the Lord? I mean, that just seems kind of silly, doesn't it? Well, do you do it with the Lord in mind? Do you do it in a way that will honor God? And are you thankful? Look at verse 17. "Do everything in the name of the Lord and give thanks to God." Do you have an attitude of gratitude? Are you thankful? Let me ask you, do you have an attitude of gratitude, or do you curse God for making trees where the leaves fall to the ground and you are responsible for picking them up? Sometimes we can be so thankful, right, on a hot day when we sit under that tree and we get the shade. Oh, it's good. Or we see the leaves turn in the fall and the foliage, beautiful orange and bright red. And it's just beautiful. We praise and thank God. But then when they fall and we got to pick them up, then our lives are now inconvenienced. But what does Paul say? Whatever you do, even if you're raking your leaves, do it in the name of the Lord. Give thanks to God that He's given you the ability to rake leaves. God says, whatever you do, give thanks, honor Him, and do it with all your heart. So today, if you struggle honoring God with the, quote, whatevers of this life, I want you to imagine this. Maybe it's raking leaves. That's just something you just can't stand doing. Imagine this. Imagine Jesus were to stand before you, bodily form. He comes in His resurrected body. He's got the nail scars in His hands, and He stands right before you, looks you in the eye, and says this, "Eric or John or Diane, would you rake the leaves for me?" how would you respond if you were in the presence of Christ and he asked you that question? I think your heart may say, Jesus, you went to the cross, you suffered, you bled and died so that I could have life. I think I can rake a few leaves. It's really not that bad to rake some leaves. Maybe it's really the heart that really needs transforming when it comes to serving God and being thankful in all things and serving God as if you're doing it for him and unto him. Because if we profess to love Christ, what does Jesus say? You will obey. You will do what I say. You will do my commands. And not only will we do them, but we will do them joyfully. And so really at the crux of all of our service is having this mindset. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm serving. And that's what Paul says, doesn't he, in verse 24. He ends it with this. It is the Lord Christ whom you are serving. And when that attitude resides in our hearts, we'll find that life is not this hopeless drudgery where we have this Eeyore outlook on everything. But there is joy in living because we are serving the living Christ. And all things I do are done unto Christ and in his name and to glorify him. Whether I'm reading a newspaper or raking leaves or working for a boss or taking care of the kids, it is for Christ. Everything must be done with the Lord Jesus in mind. And Jesus served with his whole heart. Therefore, we are to serve with our whole hearts as well. And this is what Paul is driving home to the church. Hey, whatever you do, do it with all of your heart and do it with Christ in mind. And yet, how many of us can serve half-heartedly rather than wholeheartedly? I know this week as I was preparing the message, I took a look at my own life. I took a look in the mirror, and I did not like what I saw. Because often my service can be done not wholeheartedly with this zeal and passion, but half-hearted. I can serve as if I'm on cruise control. How many know what I'm talking about by that? In other words, we're still driving, right? We're still driving. We're still looking ahead. We got our eyes on the road. We're moving forward, but our hearts, not intense about driving. We're not zealous about driving. We're just kind of kicking back and going. And often that can be my heart, kind of a half-hearted service. Well, why does that happen? How can we get to that place? Well, there's a lot of factors and maybe a lot of reasons, but I think one main reason is this, is we lose sight of this fact, is that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that I am serving. And if we lose sight of that, we may get weary. Often we can focus on people, can't we, when we serve. We may say, well, I'm serving Mrs. Fuller, or I'm serving Billy or Sally, or I'm serving the men, or I'm serving the women or the youth, or I'm serving my children, or I'm serving my parents. And certainly in one sense, we do serve people. But we need to look beyond the people and understand that we're serving ultimately who? Jesus. We're serving Christ. It is him who we are serving. And when we only focus on the human person, it'll be quickly, but we're going to get weary in service when we lose sight of Christ. You see, we must never forget the why. Why do we do what we do? We do it for Christ. And though we may not see Christ in the bodily form, we still serve Christ. Remember Matthew 25, our scripture reading for today that Dan read, where Jesus talked about the sheep and the goats. And he said this, he said, the sheep are on the right, referring to the believer. The goats are on the left, referring to the unbeliever. And he says to the sheep, those on his right says, come on in. Come on into the kingdom. Here's your inheritance. Just come on home. Because you know why? You saw me hungry and you fed me. You saw me thirsty and you gave me something to drink and on and on. And what did the sheep say? Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty? That might be our response, who have never seen Christ physically and weren't around in his day to minister to him. We may say that, Lord, when did we ever see you? And what does Jesus, how does he reply? Whatever you have done for the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. People may have served people, but ultimately they served Christ because the motive was a love for Christ. What is Jesus saying? He's saying this, that our attitude as believers should be this: it is the Lord Christ that I am serving. That means my motive for giving Bob, who doesn't have a nickel to his name, when I give him a loaf of bread, my motive is a love for Christ. When I help a neighbor mow their lawn, my motive is a love for Christ. When I help someone move, as many of you do, our motive ought to be a love for Christ. When we visit someone in the hospital, our motive ought to be because we love Christ. We love Jesus. Jesus is in my heart and Jesus is in my mind. That means when I bring Bob that loaf of bread and he crinkles up his nose and said, I like wheat bread better than white bread. We don't grab the loaf and say, you know what, Bob? Get your own loaf, you ungrateful wretch. We don't do that. Why? Because Christ is in our hearts. He's in our minds. And we're as if we're serving Christ. We wouldn't do that to Jesus. Well, Jesus wouldn't do that to us either. But the point is, we don't do that. And not only do we serve as if we're serving Christ, but we serve in the same manner as Christ. How did Christ serve? Last week, we looked at Matthew 20. It says this: Jesus came to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. How did Jesus serve you and I as believers? He laid down his life. He went to the cross. You see, Jesus continued to serve. He continued to love in the face of ungratefulness and in the face of cruelty. He continued to serve. And he says, people of God, serve in the same way because I'm in your heart and I'm in your mind. And so it's in the same manner that we are to serve as kingdom people. Again, when it comes to service, it's easy to focus on people and lose sight of Christ. Sometimes we can actually get so wrapped up in people that we may actually lose sight of the truth of Christ, of the truths of Christ, I should say. Paul said this in Galatians 1:10. He said, am I now trying to win the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. It's important to understand the context there. Paul there is talking about not compromising the truth of the gospel. I'm not going to water down the gospel to make people happy, is what Paul says. Now, certainly Paul was one who sought to serve and please others. But he says, when it comes to the truth of God's word, I'm not going to bend. There were many in Paul's day who opposed the message of the cross, that salvation comes through faith in Christ and in the blood of Christ. Many people who opposed that. And so many people would have applauded Paul if he had just changed the message a little bit. They would have given him a lot of pats on the backs and become his friend if he had just changed the message a little bit. But Paul said, I cannot do that. I cannot change the message. So for Paul, truth and service went hand in hand. He didn't water down the message as he sought to serve people. And that's a good reminder for you and I today. As we seek to be servants, you know what? We're called to be servants not only of the believer, but of the unbeliever as well. Sometimes Christians can focus only on the church, only on believers, and just serve the believers. And certainly we should do that. Other Christians only focus on the unbeliever and give all their attention to the unbeliever. But Paul didn't have that mindset. He said, I seek to please everyone. I seek to serve everyone, honor everyone. If it's a brother in Christ, then I want to serve him. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to hinder his growth in Christ. I want to help him to grow closer to the Lord. I want to serve him any way I can. And to the unbeliever, I don't want to be a roadblock to Christ. I don't want to have such terrible attitudes and actions that the world can't see Christ through my life. And so Paul sought to serve both the unbeliever and the believer. But he also sought to hold fast to the truth. And so we must never neglect the truth as well. That means when people may ask you, why do you do what you do? You need to speak the truth. I need to speak the truth to that question. Have you ever served someone out of a genuine love for Christ, a motive for Christ? You've served someone. There's been no strings attached. You've simply done it because you love Christ and you wanted to serve someone in his name. Have you ever done that? Hopefully you have. And if you have, what was the response? Sometimes people look at you and say, what's the catch? Right? Or they may say, why are you doing that? And we may be tempted to say this, well, you know, I just want to make the world a happier place, a nicer place to be. That's why I did that. Or we may start saying, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, right? No, not just for some, but you know that one, Mr. D, right? But for everyone. Do you know that one? No? Okay. We can compromise the truth. We ought to say what? No, I'm doing this because you know why? Jesus has changed my life. I'm doing this because Jesus loved me with no strings attached. He left glory and he came down and he served me. He was the ultimate servant. Therefore, that's why I am doing this. I'm doing this in his name. You may not get it. You may not understand it. I pray someday you will, I'll say brother, sister, but person, whoever it is, that's why I'm doing it. Well, this week, as you do whatever, may you do it with Christ in mind. It means whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're out raking leaves, maybe it's time to fire up the lawnmower about that time of year, right? Mow the lawn, right? Whatever you do, do it with this in mind. It is the Lord Jesus that I'm really serving. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word today. I thank you for the heart of Paul, who was so passionate to serve others and who had the right mindset, who knew that the motive for service is to glorify Christ and to exalt Christ. Father, forgive me for the times where I am self-serving and I seek to glorify myself in service rather than glorify you. Father, create in us a heart that just wants to desire you 24/7. Lord, help us to know that we've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to you. And so we're to honor you each and every moment of our lives. Lord, thank you so much for being patient with us and giving us grace to continue to serve you. Lord, open our minds to the areas, opportunities that we may have before us to serve you. Lord, help us not to be complacent and just go through the motions, Lord. Help us to be zealous in service. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll close now with a song.